Turning tonight in the Word of God to the book of Romans and to the 10th chapter. The book of Romans and the chapter 10. And we'll commence reading at the opening verse. We'll read all the way down to 21, final part of the chapter. Last verse. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Amen. We know the Lord himself will add his blessing unto the reading of his word in our hearing tonight. And we'll bow again briefly in prayer. Father, we pray that thou wilt open our ears and open our eyes to thy word tonight. Help us in our study here as we move through it. And may there be a lesson and an encouragement and a prop and a goad to push us forward in the way of our walk with Christ. May we not lose out. May we not miss out on blessings that could and should be ours. May we not fail to listen to thy command and press it into action in our lives, in our Savior's name, and to God's eternal glory. We ask these things tonight. Amen. I was very interested to see a number of figures over the past couple of days. And one of the figures began 70 years ago in 1951, right at the time of the inception and birth of our Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster denomination. And the figure was gleaned from the census that was taken that year in 1951. When they were asking people to declare their religion, in the column where people just did not declare or ticked other, there was 0.02. 0.02 that declared other. Then when you moved it 10 years further forward, you were coming to around 4%. And then, not obviously this one, because we haven't got the result of this yet, but the previous one, it was up to almost 13% who were declaring no religion at all. And I guess what that does is, when you translate that into numbers, that reveals that all around us, and I don't think it comes as any kind of a surprise to us, all around us there are more and more people today who are saying, no, I don't want to identify with this religion, that religion, or any religion. I am just irreligious, and I'm happy to be irreligious. Don't tell me anything about God, because essentially I have no interest whatsoever. When we come to Romans chapter 10, we find that the interest is not with the people. And that is reassuring, because we could look at that figure and say, it's growing, it's rising. What are we going to do about that? And of course, that's a question we need to ask. But we can't ask the question in despair, as much as, you know what, it's closing in on us. It's really getting very, very black. This is terrible. We need to be so discouraged, because the people down through the generations of time have been no different to what we find around us today. And in the final verse, just to take one example, in Romans chapter 10, the verse 21, even to Israel, who had the law, who had the covenants, who had everything going for them in terms of gospel privileges, to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying or contrary people. And so while they had the name Israel, they did not have the religion of the Most High God at all. It did not interest them. They were constantly kicking back against that, and they were going in the opposite direction to which God in his righteousness had called them to. So we don't so much worry about the condition of the people. That's our challenge, but it shouldn't be a point to make us depressed. What we need to concentrate on is, what is our condition? What is the state of our heart? How are we going to react? What action will that provoke in our lives and in our minds? Some Christians, and I'm delighted to know it, are very concerned about the people at home. People in their own house, people in their own street, people in their locality, people in Northern Ireland, people in the island of Ireland in totality. They have an interest in those folk, and they would love to see them saved. They are concerned for them. Other Christians have that focus, but they have an additional layer of focus, and they want to branch out and see unbelievers in other lands brought to saving faith and true repentance in Jesus Christ. But you know, there are some, and they don't see the faraway lands, and they don't look on those fields that are white already to harvest. They kind of operate off the principle, charity begins at home, and they tie their little loop very tight to their own feet. And some people have so constricted their concern that sadly they're not really too concerned about too many people outside of themselves. It has all become about them. And you may have heard, and hopefully it's been a rare occurrence when you've heard it, but you may have heard this kind of a sentiment: why interfere with the heathen? Why get involved in disturbing them where they are? They have their own religions, their own culture, and really we shouldn't be going out of the United Kingdom and disturbing them in their culture. That's not the vision we need, because that's blindness, that's closed eyes, that's a really crusty heart. What we need is missionary eyes. And so tonight, seeing through missionary eyes, and let's take this particular quotation that has come from Francis Dixon, and he said, "A blending of correct information and spirit-begotten inspiration that leads to definite action." It's one thing getting the information, another one having the inspiration, but we need to see those coupled together to press us forward into definite action. And that's all the process of beginning to see through missionary eyes. We have been thinking, as well you know, "Art thou in health, my brother?" We went down the various parts of the body that we tallied into our spiritual frame, asking that question, well, how are we doing on this level, that level, and in this other area? We're going to look at some parts of the body as well on our way through, briefly tonight, of course. And first of all, to get these missionary eyes, well, our eyes themselves must see. There are some things we need to recognize, that we need to get in clear focus if we are to be missionary-minded, missionary-hearted. And I'm going to mention three of the things that our eyes must see. First of all, the purpose of God, which is to reach out into all parts of the world. God so loved the world, we often quote in John 3 and verse 16. And that love of his stretches right around our globe, will reach to men and women of every nation under heaven. And so we read our Savior saying, they will come from the east, the west, the north, and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. In Revelation, we have this awesome sight of all of these people pressing into the kingdom, and they're coming from all parts of the globe. God has his people that he will call out in every single place. So the purpose of God, it's a global one. Not only must we see that, but another thing, the program of God. How will God get his love to these people, the message of his grace, the touch of mercy? How will it reach to people in all of these parts of the world? He will do what he was doing with Jonah in the book of Jonah, sending him to Nineveh, though he turned tail, decided, I'm not going that way. Eventually, by God's grace breaking him down, he went there. But that's how God works. He calls this one, that one, stirs up their heart, sends them forth, commissions them to go with his word. And so we read tonight in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In verse 15 as well, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And all of that is predicated upon the final line of verse 14, which says, and it's a very worthwhile biting question, how shall they hear without a preacher? And so, the program of God is to send out disciples with his message. We were thinking prior to coming into the main meeting here tonight about this very church, the Martyr, sending out missionaries over the years. I know of some, you will know of many, many others. Bill Woods, obviously, Emma Munn, Eveline Compton, Noel Stevenson, and I'm sure you can add, given your experience here in the Martyrs, many, many more names, maybe even going away back to the beginning of the church here, and people fanning out under the purpose of God to do the program of God. Another thing to get our eyes on is the priority of God, the priority of God. In this realm in which we are tonight, God's chief priority is not so much the education of the world, although that will come, but it is the evangelization of the world. The gospel message is the top priority. And I know whenever Christianity comes to a nation, it will have all kinds of spin-offs and benefits. And so you'll find, if you study history, ragged schools set up for urchin children, you will find them almost inevitably with their roots in the local church. Sunday schools and everything else, hospitals in various areas, at home and out in the mission field as well, set up orphanages as well by the efforts of the local church. And so all of these things do happen in their proper place, and all are vital ministries, but the top priority of God is not merely to educate, it is to evangelize. Care for the body, of course, but top priority, first of all, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added in due course. The soul is the top priority. Our eyes need, of course, to see this. And no doubt we'll think, well, I have seen that. I do know that. Well, I need to be reminded of that, and I'm sure everybody else needs to be reminded of it as well, because we can lose focus, and lose focus ever so easily. But then there's a second thing. Not only must our eyes see, but our minds must think. Our minds must think. So we do a little bit of calculation, some calibrations, sit down with a ledger sheet and whatnot, and we work out the extent of the field. That's why it's good when you have a world map updated, because country boundaries are changing quite regularly and names of countries are changing as well. And I would imagine if you haven't been in school for some time, a lot of the geography globe and the map that you looked at, studied, maybe learned off heart back then, you come to check a country and you find now on a modern map the name has changed. Totally different, unrecognizable, and things are not static, even country-wise, by any means. So a current world map is good to check out and map out where the missionaries are, where the work is going on, where God's program has extended the extent of the field. Our minds must think. Not only that, the essentialities for each part of the field. There will be needs that are relative to each different country and area. For example, people come to England. And of course, we have the Crown College, and they're coming into England, and they're setting up a church here and a church there, just like our denomination has been trying to do as well. And now, the country that once sent out missionaries all around the world is having to be missioned. And many of the churches that are growing, where they are growing in the UK, are mission plants that have come in from other areas. And others who once were evangelized by us are now coming back to evangelize us, returning the fever. But that's a sad commentary on where we are as a nation at this time. But in every place in England and in Northern Ireland here, you could go to a church here, a next street, another church, next street, another church. That's pretty much the way it is here. Mission halls and churches and all the rest. But if you were to send, for example, into India 1,000 missionaries, and if they were to go there, they could find each one had a parish to themselves, covering 500 villages each. And that sense of scale is incredible. Each part needs different work. The extent of the field, the essentialities for each part, and the exertion that's ongoing is something that, again, our minds should be working into, coming up with the figures, asking questions, what's being done there, like little lights glowing in the world. What are our missionaries doing? What are their needs? What's happening in terms of missionary endeavor? So our eyes must see, minds must think. Then thirdly, our ears must hear. And you have an emphasis here in Romans chapter 10 on this very thing, hearing. You'll find it again and again. When the question is asked in 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Then we have 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. When our eyes, missionary eyes, are opened to see, and our mind becomes informed so that we can pray more intelligently and labor with more zeal and focus. Before long, our ears will detect a call. It'll be as it was with Peter. The Macedonian call, come over and help us. We'll hear the cry of a billion souls that are still waiting to hear the word of righteousness, who have never heard of the Savior we know and love, the only one we know who can really help them. May the Lord open our ears to hear their earnest cry. Our ears must hear, and then our heart must feel. Our heart must feel. In Lamentations 3, and we'll turn to this one, Lamentations 3, and given the fact it's that extra long chapter in the book of Lamentations, so it's the middle one with 66 verses, 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, 3 verses beginning with letter A, there A, and then 3 with B, and so on. But we're coming right towards the end, to verse 51, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." What we see with our eyes, what we have heard with our ears, we must allow it to get right into us and affect our heart, change our feelings, stir up our compassion like Christ. And we are to be like him, as we well know in Matthew 9 and verse 36, in Luke 19 verse 41 and 42, who saw Jerusalem and saw the people, the multitudes, sheep not having a shepherd, he was moved with compassion towards them. Are we moved with compassion today? Do we look around and are we saying, people that are passing me by need the Lord, and my heart should be burdened for them? Are we going to feel within our heart that concern, that compassion, that we see people passing by on every side, and if they keep going the way they are today, they're going to Christless guilt and gloom? Our hearts must feel, and then our lips must speak. If our heart begins to feel the desperate need of those who forever may be lost, then we'll be burdened and we'll pray as our Savior instructed, pray for laborers to be sent forth into the harvest field, and we'll pray, Lord, help me to be a missionary just where I am, among the people that I was brought across my path. These people haven't appeared by accident. It's by thy design. Help me to open my mouth and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Looking further afield, I'm sure most, if not all, here tonight, so this word may be more applicable to those who don't attend prayer meetings, but I'm sure all of you will be having your missionary prayer list, the various names, be praying regularly for them, getting more data and detail about them so that again you can sharpen, like the old sharpener for the pencil, that you went up to the teacher's desk with the revolving handle and got your pencil in line, sharp, and then back to do more work, more likely stab your neighbor, as it was the case. But we can sharpen our focus when we find out what's happening in the mission field, what are the needs, and then our lips, we are speaking in prayer for those who are lost. Not only that, sixth thing, and we're coming towards the final, the seventh, our hands must work. It's one thing to see with our eyes and hear with our ears, to feel with our hearts. Even to speak in prayer with our lips, it's one thing to do that, but then it has to get, as our opening quote indicated, it has to get to the field of action, to the place where we're actually doing something of a more practical nature. That's what we'll want to do. We'll be stirred up, all our faculties, so that our hands will want to work, corresponding perhaps with missionaries made so much easier now. They don't have to wait for the telegram coming through or the letter to eventually arrive, although I'm sure all of them still love to get letters in the post coming ever so far away and taking so long a time to do it. But we've got emails and we've got WhatsApps and we've got all of these instant connectors now that we didn't have in the past. Bundles of material can be sent out as well as little gifts, maybe welcoming some missionary who's home on furlough to our home for a rest, maybe gathering missionary information for the benefit of the local church by giving our money to various missionary causes. So many areas where our hands can be stretched out and can work. And then, of course, it had to come to this. Our feet must go. All can't, of course. Not everyone's circumstances would allow them to go, and God has ordered our circumstances to be what they are, but many who could go are not going. And we need the clarion call to go out again. And I remember coming many a Saturday to the martyrs here, Easter weekend. It was the missionary night where the big focus was on, and young people were being called out and sometimes were coming out. In fact, sometimes you look through rose-tinted glasses at the past and you imagine things that didn't really happen, but one thing I'm not imagining is we had scores of young people who were making their way from all parts of this building down to the front, out the back, to have a talk about how do we get to know the will of God for our lives. And now that we're going to be marking the 100th anniversary of our country, Northern Ireland, it would be good to scan over the years and pick out the missionaries who have gone out from this country, carrying the torch of truth all over the world. The world's great heart is aching fiercely in the night. And God alone can heal it, and God alone give light. And the men to bear the message and preach the living word are you and I, my brothers, and all others who have heard. Let's turn to the book of Acts as our final reference tonight. The book of Acts, chapter 26. Tremendous missionary book as well, we know. The book of Acts, 26th chapter. And the verse 19. Paul is testifying to what God has done in his life and stirred him up to do. Whereupon, he testifies, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Open our eyes. Stir up our hearts. Clear our ears. May our mouths move in prayer. Our hands and feet, may they go. And may our mind be constantly instructed about need.